Whoa, happy Mother's Day. This is What the Heck with Richard Dweck. I have a new microphone, Dan, so that's good. I have Brian Barry on the podcast, season 5, episode 13. Just a fucking great episode. A great conversation. A little bit chatty, but we got into the interview part in the last 30 minutes. I am so excited to have this, and thank you so much for listening, and please check out Ryan Barry on Instagram. Ryan Barry Was Only Joking, and it's, you know, he has a YouTube channel that you can probably find if you put Rob Barry, and it's just, it's great. So thank you so much. It's interesting to have you on, because, like, I just remember seeing you the first time, and you just killed, like, the first time that you did it. It was at the Crust and Crumble, right?
My first time was at,
Porta, right, yeah. That was...
And I sort of found out that all of these, like, mics were going on at Asbury Park, and I had no idea that there was sort of this established scene, so that was interesting.
Oh, me too. I came in a couple of years later, I guess. It's so funny, when I started doing improv, local improv, in 2011, there was nothing. There was no open mics or anything. And then...
Who did you do improv with, if you don't mind?
I don't know if you heard of it, Improv Jam in Red Bank?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so yeah. I did that, because I knew Mike, the guy that runs it. He was a middle school teacher of mine. Like, he taught improv, and then I remembered him, and... I just saw, like, a flyer in my vocal class at, like, the end of this year in my, I guess the end of my freshman year, I think. And then I was just like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. Because there was nothing. There was no, like, there was no way to get into it. That's a funny thing. Yeah. So it wasn't until Angelo came along and, like, he started to build up whatever he was doing. And it's funny, I always wanted to do stand-up. I was like, I'm going to do this for, like, a month. And then it's like, oops, 4 years later.
And, and then
Angelo just started everything, and they started having comedians just open for us, and I was able to start. But, I started in 2015, and it's just so weird to think, like, it's back then, like, 6 years.
What's 6 years? Because we started at the same time. I don't know, man. Time's flying.
Yeah, I just remember the first time that I saw you was the Crust and Crumble, and I just remember, like, you just had this amazing set, and it's so funny. I talk with other people, and it's like, the main thing that I always say that I think resonates with a lot of people is we've never seen you bomb. Probably, yeah. Like, I haven't seen everything that you do, of course, but it just seems like whenever I see you, you're always on. Were you always a performer?
You know what? I think it's weird, because I think I kind of denied myself that, like, growing up, you know, I kind of thought that I could have done, like, more theater or anything like that. So I kind of started, like, dabbling in, like, home movies and stuff like that, and I had a lot of fun with it. But I never really did, like, too much theater, because I was like, you know, that's kind of, and pardon my French here, but in my thought process back then was like, I was like, nah, that's really gay, I'm not going to do that, you know? And then here we are, years later.
Right.
But, yeah, then I think it, towards the end of high school, I was like, you know what, let me, like, give it a shot, and then I kind of started getting into it, but it was a little, it's a lot of work. Theater, so I didn't love it as much as, like, everyone else did. I think I just did because some of my friends were doing it.
Right.
But then I went to college, and my freshman year, I saw, for Parents Weekend in, like, September of freshman year, I saw a group of 9 improvers from our school go up and perform, and I remember sitting in the audience, and, like, something clicked in my brain, and I was like, not only can I do that, like, I'm going.
Right.
So then, like, for the next couple of weeks, they had, like, tryouts and workshops and stuff stuff like that, and then I got in, and I think after that, I kind of just really, not just, like, performing, but really liking making people laugh.
Right.
That's sort of what clicked.
Yeah, I just watched the Mother's Day clip that you put up on YouTube, the sketch you did with Waldo, and that was just, it's great. Like, I've seen the ones that you did, like, when you did one when COVID came out with everyone, and I was like, this is like an all-star cast of everyone.
It was so nice to have all those people who want to also make people laugh.
Right. And it was freaking awesome.
I feel like that's, yeah, I think that was something that was kind of missing for a big portion of my life.
Right.
Now, it's weird to be, like, in my mid-30s, to be like, oh, wow, I found, like, a bunch of, like, big weirdos who...
Right. Right.
Things, so it's a lot of fun. Yeah.
We talk about this a fair lot on my podcast. Do you feel like, do you like that you started at the time that you did, or do you wish that you were younger when you did, or?
You know what? That's a very good question. I think there's, I don't have any other answer because just having to accept it that, you know, I did start when I was 30, I guess.
Right. Right.
There's a lot of things that I probably, if I tried to do it earlier, I feel like my humor would have been different. A lot of, like, the jokes that I would have had, I don't know if they would have, like, translated as well or wouldn't have been, like, as well thought out. And I also, I also kind of think if I was doing any more, like, shows at bars and, you know, trying to hustle into this, like, lifestyle of, well, let me, like, move to the city, and let me do this, and this, and this. There is, like, a part of me that feels like that would have been my downfall. Like, I would have just become, like, party boy.
Right, yeah.
You know, 2015, and, I just don't know. So I think I'm okay. I'm accepting the fact that I did start, obviously, when I was 30. I'm okay with that.
Right. Yeah, I know so many people, especially in our scene, who started in 30, and it's just so interesting to me because I was the oldest growing up in, like, my school and stuff. So when I started, it was just interesting to be around all these older people, and I was, like, 22, and it's just so crazy to think I'm 27 now. Started when I was 22. I've known all these people for so long, you and, like, Jack Steiger and, like, everyone, and, like, it's just crazy. Like, I met these people, and the cool thing about, what was cool about Brighton was, like, it was, like, this like, end point, kind of, where, or, like, middle point, where it was, like, I knew all these people from back then, and look at where we are now, and this thing that we've cultivated is just insane. And it's just, like, I always try and think, like, you know, would I have liked to, it's always so weird to think, like, I started at 22, I wish that I had started, like, when I wanted to start at 16, but it's like, you know, it's cool to have the experience that I have now, and I like that I have the experiences that I had that led up to it, and, you know, it just feels like such a crazy, like, period of time that has gone by, and... Because that was when I, like, well, when I was, like, 15, 16, I got, like, really into comedy. Like, I watched comedy as a kid, but, like, it wasn't until, like, I, like, that was when I became, like, a super nerd about it.
Yeah,
and I was, like, super into it. And it was, like, it was 2010, so there was this high rise of, like, comedy kind of being back in the mainstream. Like, there was Louis C.K. was on in his, like, heyday, and this is crazy now, but just with everything else. Bad that is. And like Bo Burnham and all these people coming out. So I was like, this is what I want to do. So I was like, you know, and I think the big part is, and this can probably resonate with anyone, is when you're that age, people will, like, ask you what you're going to do for the rest of your life. And you have no idea at that age what you're going to do. Like, my main excuse that I did, I never was going to do this. And I kind of, like, had to, like, fake it a little bit. I always said, like, I'm going to be a writer. I'm going to be a screenwriter. That was my, like, stock answer. And then, like,
and then like you get pushed towards it, and it's like, oh, I gotta like keep up with the lie and do this, like, you know, and be like, and then I just found comedy, and I was just like, okay, this is what I can do now. And it was actually with singing in my vocal class. I was sang as a kid by myself, and then like I didn't know I was any good. So when I took this vocal class, which is like sing by yourself, you learn like how to do that, and it was great. And I was surrounded by all these kids that were, you know, fucking amazing singers. And I always felt bad because it was like what they wanted to do with the rest of their life. And I was like, I just like doing this. But it was cool because I was like surrounded by, it was the same thing later with improv. It's like I'm surrounded by all these amazing people. And you get to see them like in that phase of like starting out. And it's like, I thought all those kids would be like on American Idol and just like be awesome. But it was just like, this is, so when I started, it was just like, that's what I'm going to do. And I think I wanted to ask this when you talked about earlier with like not wanting to do like theater stuff. Were you out in high school? Right.
So you can kind of deal with this on your own time. No, I wasn't. But, I knew I was gay. Actually, I told, like, my two close friends, but then that was it, you know?
Right.
Because I went to CBA, and that's just, like, bro central. I mean, it's different times now, but...
Right. Oh, I bet. I mean, with me, it's like, it's so weird to think about, like, my generation as opposed to, like, people your age and, like, people younger. Like, it's just, like, interesting. Like, I always feel like homophobia in our, like, age was, like, it was very odd. It was, like, treated like a thing we had to be aware of, but we were learning. And it was like, you know, I always say, like, we felt like we were in the retirement phase of words. We were like, we're not going to call people gay if they're actually gay.
Yeah.
But we're going to call things gay that are stupid.
Oh,
yeah. It was like, that was our take on it. It was like, that was our rule. It's like, you don't call a retarded person retarded, but you say retarded every other sentence. That was like our dig at it. It's like, we're trying to get better, and we're trying to, like... And I don't think, like, with us, it was just, like, there was no, there was just ignorance. There wasn't, like, really a hatred or grossness to it. I think it was just, like, oh, that person's gay. Now you have to learn, how do I talk to a gay person? how do I communicate? And then you just realize, like, you're just humans, and you're just going to be nice to people.
Yeah.
Right.
And then 4 months later, going to college, and everyone accepted you for pretty much everything. It was like, I can't believe that space of time was just kind of what everyone needed to get out of that mental block of being in high school, you know?
Right.
It was a lot more accepting right off the bat in college, so I'm grateful for that. That's cool, but, you know.
Yeah, it's just interesting to, like, see how things go. And also, like, have you felt, like, accepted in doing comedy? Like, has that been cool?
Because nobody's going to fuck with me, Richard. No. I do, definitely, 100%. I feel like, because, I'm not trying to be anyone else.
Right. Right.
Like, you know, that's pretty important, obviously, and I just feel like, I think that's also why I kind of like you're kind of get along with people. You're not having to impress people as much as
right.
you do. So I feel like, yeah, even like with new people, like younger people, you know, there is sort of like this like hesitation, but no, I definitely feel accepted. I love everybody, and yeah, if anyone gives me grief, I'll fucking elbow them or something.
Right. It's just great. Like, that's the one thing that I have to be careful to ask, because, like, you know, that's the one thing that's cool about this, is you get to see everyone's perspective, and
yeah.
It's just cool to see, like, I'm happy for you that that happens, because it would make me feel awful if you still dealt with that in our little community. Right.
You know, if I can survive that, like, I can do anything.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, no, comedy is just, it's a great little way to just kind of get out there and let your hair down, if I had any, but it's great. It's a great community. I love it.
I had this thought the other, like, night when we were at the Nip and Tuck, is, like, I've been thinking about this recently. I wish I had a time machine. So, like, I could see all of us, like, get us all together and, like, have us, like, revert back to, like, 5 years old and have us do our sets. And I don't think it would be too different. Like, personalities would be too different from how people are now.
Did you picture us in the Nip and Tuck bar?
Like, yeah, like if people were five, and it's like, you know, 5-year-old Joe McAndrew talking would be, you know. Yeah. Yeah, it's just
That would be weird, because I think I, you know, I don't know if 5 is when, like, you sort of start kind of coming out of your shell. Like when
right.
you think, not saying that you are weird, but, like, when did you think that you were, like, first, I'm going to say, peculiar?
I guess 5 is the year that I sort of, that my mom sort of says, like, that I've just been this way. And it's so funny to be the way that I am, because for a long time I tried to suppress it. And especially in high school, I was, like, I kind of was the, like, not in a cocky, like, popular way. It was, like, oh, you know how people, like, I have the reputation I have now where everyone kind of knows me, and people generally like me. But back then, it was, I wasn't as accepting, and I'm cool with it now. Like, I like being roasted, and I like being made fun of by comics, because it's like boxing. It's like you want to... It's it's consensual.
Right.
With me, it was not consensual. It was, oh, Richard's weird. We're going to talk to him and interact with him and not laugh at him behind his back. We're going to do that. But we're going to laugh at him to his face and we're going to, you know, be like, this kid's weird. Let's talk to him in public in front of everybody and laugh at his answers and laugh at what he says. And, you know, it's like you feel like the village idiot. And it's like to me... It's like, and I was so thin-skinned, it was just like, you know, this is just who I am, and I have these weird, you know, things about me, and I think that's such a, like, shitty thing to do, like, thinking back on it. It's just like, you can't even be a human when people are treating you like you're this odd, like, specimen.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm just living my life, like, why is this answer... to this question that you ask me, like, so odd, or this thing that I say, or this thing that I do, or the way that I dress is, like, you know, peculiar, or, like, weird, and now it's, like, I just have to learn to accept it, and change the things that I can, and not change the things that, you know, you can't change, because, to me, that's the biggest thing. It's always so... Interesting. So it doesn't offend me when you say that, because I know what you mean. It's totally interesting just to, like, be like this. So it's actually interesting because I'm going to Texas on the 14th to the 17th. And do you remember Eric Hollerbach?
Of course I do.
He was here for a little bit. He invited me to he's having, like, comics stay with him, like, every week, I guess. And like, I'm going for 3 days to Texas. And
Austin?
Austin. And I'm excited because I'm going to be performing for the first time outside of, you know, the state, which I'm psyched about. Because it sounds so shitty, but, like, I'm sick of performing in New Jersey
I totally...
for 6 years. And to me, what's interesting is I know the stereotypes I have about Texas, and to think of, like, what Texans are going to think of me is just very interesting to, like, think about. It's like, oh, I finally get to, like, expose this to people that don't know. Like, that's a hard thing about doing some material now. It's like, I can't do a lot of, like, some material because people know me. Like, so it's like, I can't do the, like, intro stuff when you have to, like, introduce yourself and be like, this is what I am. And so I have people like, oh, this is, you know, they've known me for 6 years, 5 or 6 years. It's like, this is just, so it's interesting. And I'm excited to do that. Oh, yeah.
And I also think a yearn for the opportunity to perform for other people who have never seen me before. And that includes comics, because I feel that's really kind of intimidating, trying to, like, get back out on the scene right now. I know that everyone sort of was going through a weird year, and whether they wanted to write as much as they did, or, you know, maybe they just didn't flesh out things that they wanted. Like, that's me, you know? I'm in there. Notes and my jokes that I wrote this past year, I'm just like, everything is garbage and I hate myself.
Yeah, it really sucks because it feels like it just happened. Like, you just...
Yeah.
It takes out a whole lot. Like, people don't understand when you... I guess people that don't do comedy or they watch it and they just don't do it is you cultivate such a... You come up with... You go through, like, a... trajectory of, like, you're on the rise of doing what is, you know, what you want to be doing, and then it just stops, and it's like, okay, well, you have to deal with that now.
Yeah.
It's like, to me, it was like I was getting, like, a good like, process of, like, okay, I don't drive, so I have a ride now, and I have, you know, we go out, like, 3-4 times a week, and we, you know, we get a show every once in a while, and, you know, it's on the path, and then this just happens, and it's like lockdown, and you gotta stop. Was that hard for you to sort of adjust to everything going away?
You know what is weird is because as much as, like, an extrovert as I am, I think I'm also equally just as much an introvert. So when everything was kind of shutting down, they gave us our computers and they were like, go work from home for a few weeks. I kind of was like, wow, I don't have to see any of these people again, which is great because...
Right. Right.
But, yeah, a year later, it's kind of getting to me, definitely, than at the beginning.
I didn't say this on stage much, but I had this joke about it. It's like, I felt like everyone was living my life, like, when COVID started. As I'm, like, kind of indoorsy, I'm, like, to myself, and it's like, you know, this is what I do. Like, people are, like, cooped up inside, and they're, like, can't stand it. I'm like, this is what I do. It's like, God, now you see how... I live my life.
Sitting at my computer in my underwear with the shades drawn.
Right. It's like, I don't need to, but it's
weird.
I just, I guess with me from the outside looking in, I just saw that you were doing stuff. I just remember seeing you do that show at the brewery with Mark Normand.
Yes, yeah.
And I was like, that's so fucking cool to just see the people that I started with. Like, to me, I wasn't jealous. I kind of was, like, in this weird place where it was, like, I'm still very close with that group of people that run the show and did everything, but to me, I was, like, I wasn't as close with them anymore, so I felt like, oh, if I had just stayed in that friend group, I would have been on that show.
Well, that, you know, that's, I think, honestly, it's weird, because I feel like even, like, when I was doing theater, you know, and everything was kind of doing, like, improv and stuff like that, it's weird because if you look close enough, you could almost be like, wow, there's a lot of different cliques inside this thing. But
oh, yeah.
Also, I'm at a point where sort of in my brain, I'm like, some a little bit more, but it's not for any other reason, you know, other than just, I guess, I don't even know if it's proximity or just comfortable level.
Right.
I'm not really sure.
You just find a group that you're in. Like, that's the thing that I always tell younger people is, like, when they, or people, not even younger than me, that people that start, like, now, I always tell them, like, besides all the regular tips of, like, you know, write and perform as much as you can, I say, don't use, like, the phrase networking and be, like, fake. Make friendships, because that's what you do. Like, that's what is the best thing to do. Because you just find the people that you get along with. And
I totally agree. There's got to be like a level of genuine personality in there.
And I see that with everyone that you hang out with. Like, you sort of have that set of people that you hang out with, like Waldo and all those people. And they're just, they're very nice, and, like, awesome, funny people.
Yeah.
So. Oh, yeah, he's brilliant.
Franco a lot. He's kind of far away from me, but, like, I love Franco just as much as I love Waldo.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's weird because I don't want to fall into that clique group. I don't want to give, you know, anybody reason to, like, believe, you know, that I lean more one way than the other.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that just happens. You just, you know, you find your group of people, and, you know, we're lucky that I think, like, Eric said this because he's traveled, like, been in different places, is that New Jersey, there's a couple, but we mostly get along pretty well, everyone. And it's just, it's nice to have that, you know. It's nice to just see everyone and sort of how everyone fits into every little group that we kind of have is, like, you know.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and again, it's just like having, not having those goofy people in my life for so long, and then sort of at this point, 36, to be like, wow, I've met this handful. Like, I want to make sure that everyone feels included.
Right.
You know.
And so that's part of the reason I did the podcast, started doing the podcast when I started, like, wanting to interview people, was, like, there's such this, like, community of people that are, like, you know, doing really good stuff. And I don't just want to, you know, I think with a lot of us, we focus on ourselves of, like, I'm going to promote my comedy, my, you know, my brand, my career. And then it's just like, I looked at it and I was like, I have so many people around me that have really been a great influence and have really, like, made a difference in my life just being around them. So it's like, if I can build up other people and expose them to other people, to the world, and just be like, these are the funniest people I know. It's like, it's just crazy. It's just, it's insane. I look at the list of, like, I say this all the time, I look at the list of the people that I have, that I haven't asked yet, that I have, like, looking on the list, and it's always so funny. The number that it always goes back to, like, of people that I have to ask is 133. It's like, you know, I'll be like, I got 5 people on, and then it'll be like 5 new people will show up and start out and be new, and I'll be like, I want to interview that person. I got to get on. Even if they've been doing comedy for like 2 days, I'll be like, you're in the group.
I picture you, like, checking out at ShopRite, and the cashier makes you laugh, and you're like, what are you doing next Sunday?
Right, exactly. Yeah, so... Right.
You know, for one reason or another, and it's like, yeah, you've got a huge list of people.
Right. Yeah, and it's just so interesting. It's like, you know, you look at, like, you know, it's so funny. You look at those, and you're like, of course these people. It's like, you know, you were talking about Franco Danger. I want to get him on. And it's like, you know, to me, it's the thing that's interesting is I want to have it all. I want to have the people that I start with and also like bigger name people that I've had. I've had like two big name people, and it's just like, to me, I don't want there to be, because it's not like, I've noticed this with COVID and everything, and you probably noticed this when you did shows with Mark Norman. It's like, there's no hierarchy between comedians as comedians, if you know what I mean. Like, there's probably a hierarchy in, like, the business aspect of it. But, like, Mark, what's cool about him is, like, seeing, like, that was interesting to me, to see, like, when stuff shut down, that these comedians that are professionals were like, yeah, I'll do an outdoor mic. I'll do it. I'll do an outdoor show. I'll do an outdoor, you know. They weren't picky of, like, or, like, divas about it. They were like, yeah, I'll do this with, you know. I'll be on any show, and
it's, I think, yeah, because I feel like there's definitely just for some people, you know, like, this is really, really, really 100% what they're meant to do. This is how they're making a living. So, you definitely see, like, some people really hustling and trying to make this something work. I really enjoyed watching his hustle during the past year because, one, I think he's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, really just as far as, like, being able to go on Instagram or YouTube and be like, oh, I put up another video. Thank God I've got something to watch now.
Right.
So I feel like that was great for a lot of reasons. And, you know, he really was just still keeping going with it. So.
You got to drive him, like, back, right? So you got to drive with him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a really cool night, and Allie May put that show together. Really, really kind of came through for me. I really loved that a lot. So that was an experience I'll never get back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I always kick myself because I had the chance to meet him that night, and I got, like, too starstruck, which is so weird, because usually I just talk to, like, you know, I've met, like, a couple of famous comedians. It's like, you know, why did that happen to me? Why did I get, like, you know, starstruck? And I knew, like, from his reputation that he would have talked to me.
Yeah.
But I was just, like, I had no, like,
You should have gotten in the car with us.
Right.
I was
like,
you're less lonely driving home.
Right. It was just like, I just kick myself all the time that I didn't get to. And, you know, the way that I think about it is like, you know, knowing so many people that do shows with him, I'm like, I'll probably see him again. It's not.
this is not a one time.
Yeah, it's like, I'll probably run into him again.
Yeah, I mean, you've got 27. I mean, and this is, you know, you said this is what you probably want to do. It's just like, your paths will cross again.
Yeah. Right.
There's also something working in the back of my brain that's like, this is like the one chance this is gonna happen. Like, if I saw Chris Evans in my apartment complex, you bet your ass I'd be like, sign my Captain America shoe.
Right. Yeah.
Do you want a beer? We can go to the Applebee's.
Right.
You know, it's just, there's something that's like, you are starstruck, but you have to, in the back of your brain, you're like, do something, say something, just get it in gear. Like, don't regret this. So when you do meet him again, Richard, I want you to hug him and give him a big kiss.
You know, it's so interesting. I love, like, you mentioned it, like, being outgoing with your personality and everything. Like, it's just so great, like, just to see you. Like, you're such a breath of, you're like a breath of fresh air. Like, even though everyone's pretty nice, like, you just have a good, like, this is good for you. You have a good reputation, I guess, with everyone.
Involved in this community, like, you know, as small or as big as it is to you in New Jersey, it's just like, I'm thankful for these people and for all the opportunities they've given us, and hopefully maybe one day I can kind of repay that back. But I feel like, you know, there's a work ethic, but like there's also just like a personality ethic to it, I guess. Like,
yeah.
It's just, you know, people, like the audience may go home and be like, man, that guy was funny. But at, like, hopefully at the end of the day, my friends can go home and be like, man, he's such a nice guy. So.
Right. So I want to ask you a few things. When did you, who were your comedians growing up that you liked?
Okay, so this is kind of like, I think this is sort of the weird thing, is that I didn't really watch a lot of stand-up growing up. However, it is so clear in my mind. I guess my parents left, like, HBO on or something like that. And I remember, I think it was a school night. I got out of the shower and I'm walking towards like my room, and Kathy Griffin's, one of her stand-up specials, was on, and I'm watching it, and I remember I kind of like sat down on the couch and I just started cracking up, like to the point I think where I like was sitting on the arm of the couch and like fell backwards because I was laughing so hard. And I forget what the joke was, of course, but she really was my first introduction
right
into stand-up, which is probably weird because I feel like a lot of people will be like, oh, like George Carlin.
Right. Well, with her, she was very prolific for her time. Like, I look up her stuff, and it's like, she had, like, an HBO special every year for a few years, and it's like, she...
Yeah, and then she had her show, and she still was, you know, I think at that point, she was probably, like, of course, she's, like, selling out auditoriums, but, like, she's still kind of leaning into that My Life on the D-List type thing, where she's like, people are here to see me, but no one knows really who I am.
Right.
And, yeah, I think I she really was like my first introduction, and I think that was a memory that kind of stuck with me, where I was like, oh man, that's really funny, she looks like she's having fun, and maybe I could do that. I feel like, you know, that's sort of
right
in your brain, and then you go to bed, and, you know, you finish your geometry homework or whatever, and then you're just like, well, okay, whatever, and you push it out of your mind. But yeah, I will never forget, she was sort of that first one. But, truthfully, I don't, which is terrible, because I feel like, you know, if you want to be a good writer, you should read a lot, right?
Right.
If you want to be a good comedian, you should probably be watching a lot of people's material. And truthfully, I haven't really watched a ton of stuff, but more recently, within like the past couple of years since starting this, I definitely think like Tom Segura.
Oh, is, yeah. He's great. Love his stuff.
Even like, you know, so you're Bo Burnham.
Oh yeah.
Just because it was something different, I think like the first few times I watched him, I was like, this guy's annoying. Like, you know, whatever. He's this young kid.
Right.
And me singing up on that stage.
Right.
But then like you watch it again, you're like, oh, this is actually, it's really enjoyable and really well thought out. And,
right.
You know, so it's weird because I always want to watch more, and I think it was actually you who said, do you like Leslie Jones?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's... Leslie Jones, did I tell you about her?
You know what's weird is that I think that I was just like, oh my god, she just screams on these Saturday Night Live sketches. I was like, what the fuck
oh,
is this?
Oh, yeah. Right.
Kind of go back especially and see a lot of these people starting out when they were.
Yeah, it's always interesting. It always annoys me, like, when I look on Wikipedia, they always get it wrong, like, most of the time, of when people started, because they always mark the starting period of, like, when they became famous. It's like, you know, you kind of have to, like, I remember I fixed things on, like, Wikipedias and stuff. It's like, you know, it's like people like to think, like, oh, you know, when you look at John Mulaney, people put, like, oh, his starting year is, like, 2009. It's like, he started in 2002. Like, that's when he was an open micers. It's like, you know, it's just kind of cool, like, what people think, like, is the year that you made it.
Yeah,
like, they think that's when you started. It's like, it's so frustrating. I'll be like, yeah, like, you know, whenever I see someone on like a Conan or something and comments are negative, I'm like, this is not their like first night.
But yeah, you know, like when you're talking about school, it's not, you don't say like when you know, you don't immediately just go like, oh, I graduated this year. You know, it's just like, if people are like, oh, when did you start school? I'll be like, oh, I started in 1990, you know? Right. In the timeline, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I guess, so do you go back on those Wikipedia pages and fix this?
Sometimes, usually. But most of the time, people get it now. Like, I think they've caught on. Like, most people do.
They wisened up to your...
Yeah, it's like, oh, they get it now. It's like... Yeah. It's just interesting because, like, you know, it's just interesting. You'll see people, and, like, with Leslie Jones, what was just so... I watched her... I remember her last special. I was, like, critical of it. I was, like, the one thing that I liked about it was that it felt like... This seems ungenuine to say, but it's, like, true. It's, like, it seems like if anyone was there, they'd have a really good time. Because I feel like with watching it, it doesn't capture the, like, essence of the room you're in. Like, it's an atmosphere, and I can just imagine it being an atmosphere when she's on stage and she's yelling and being so loud and abrasive. It's like, you know, yeah. You don't get the full picture of it when you're not there in the room.
Exactly.
It's like, if you were there in a room, you'd be like, this is magnificent, this is amazing.
It must be weird to, like, be the one editing all that together.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like,
right.
Yeah.
So was your family really into, like, comedy and stuff?
No.
What, your parents?
Really. Everyone, like, I guess enjoyed comedy.
Right.
Like, it's so weird. And, okay, so this is, I'm just going to say this. I feel like there was also, like, a period of time from when I was, like, 6 years old to, like, the middle of high school where there was, like, a lot of in my family.
Oh.
And I feel like it just kind of kept happening, and no one knows I did all of the murders. And it, I think there was, not that it was like a dark period or anything like that, but it's weird because, like, when I think of my family now, you know, I just think of, like, my mom as a grandma, and, like, all my nieces and nephews running around, and we're all barbecuing and just, like, throwing back beers and having fun and doing, like, vacation stuff, you know, and there are definitely, like, good memories, but
right.
I just sort of don't know, like, I enjoyed my childhood.
Right.
I just don't know if, like, comedy was my family's strong suit.
Right.
I don't know, you know, but I definitely do remember, like, those little times where I would, like, imitate Ace Ventura or
right.
South Park characters or Austin Powers, and I sort of do remember, you know, like, everyone else really enjoying that. But
right.
No one really jumped in. They just kind of let me do my thing. And
right.
Like, okay, go back, like, play in the basement. You know.
I know we're talking about comedy. I wanted to go back to something for a moment. I hope you don't mind me asking. Where's your family, like, pretty accepting of you when you came out? Right.
And I was like, make sure they practice now. You know, so I probably didn't handle it, like, that well, but she was fine, you know, after a couple days. And then definitely since dating my boyfriend, she's kind of come around. We've sort of really just worn her down to nothing, so she's
right.
Great now.
Right.
My dad, yeah, I thought my dad was going to have a problem with it, but he's cool. He's gay now. it's, yeah, I, but you know, even like my little brother, my cousin told him on vacation, and I think like he
Yeah.
And you know, then much like the our best family trait is that if anything's bothering us, we just sweep it right under the rug.
Under the rug. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, so that's really healthy. And
right. It's like. Oh, right. Yeah.
As it turns out, their hearts killed them. I don't know.
Right. Or they're not around anymore?
Mm-mm.
Oh.
R.I.P.
Right. Yeah. It sounds like at least, like, I'm happy that you were able to do that because, you know, it just seems so, just from what I've heard, like, so, it could be so scary, like,
yeah.
To not have that happen, like. Right.
No, yeah, it's groovy now, you know?
You've been with your partner for, like, 15 years now, right?
Yeah, in July, it'll be 15 years, which is fucking crazy.
I don't know how I remember that now. Maybe you said it a couple weeks ago, I don't know. I'm, like, happy that I got it, because I was, like, it'd be really embarrassing if you were, like, no, 12. Right, this is so, it's so interesting just to think of, you know, the time period of that and this, you know, being able to do it. Has he been cool, like, with, I don't think I've seen him a whole lot. Does he, like, get along with the comedians? Like, do you bring him around?
He doesn't really like to come to shows because he, quote unquote, likes to laugh. And I was like, oh my God.
Oh, that's fucking great.
He, you know, it's so weird, and this is, it's not like a dig or anything like that, but like...
No, I get it.
I remember, you know, when I was starting out, he was coming to a few of these, and I, like, remember, I think it was, like, Jess Alamo, Joe McAndrew, JC, you know, everyone's going up, and they're just kind of reworking.
Right.
But Corey already heard them two times before, and I remember he was like... Alright, I'm out of here.
That was the same thing with my mom that I sort of had to explain. Once I explained it to her, like, that they're working out their material for your show, she sort of got it. Like,
yeah,
you know, it's interesting. Like, people are like, you know, oh, he's so complimentary towards my mom and how cool she is. There definitely was some, knowing, and I see this with a lot of people with their girlfriends and stuff, is, like, you kind of have to show them, like, how to act.
Yeah.
And, like, how to say it. It's like, no, you can't talk during that person's set.
It's weird because Corey very much, I think, appreciates it. Because he's like, if people are talking during someone's set, he'll just be like, why don't these people shut the fuck up?
Right.
He's like, oh, Lord. So he definitely gets it.
Right.
But, yeah, like, you know, it's crazy because I definitely think, like, my twin sister who lives in Virginia has seen me more times than Corey has. Also, that's fine because I feel like if Corey was there all of the time, I would feel like I kind of had to, like, babysit him.
Oh, right.
And, you know, I'd be, like, a little self-conscious about that. Like, talk about performing, like, for just comedians.
Right.
That can kind of be, like, you know, like, nerve-wracking. I think performing for him, it's also nerve-wracking.
Right.
I remember the first time I tried my set out on him. You know, I was like, Corey, can I just try these few jokes out in front of you before I go to Asbury? And he was like, how about this? How about when I laugh, I'll turn my chair around like it's The Voice? And I was like, great. So I did two jokes and he didn't turn his chair. And I was like, you need to look at me because I can't stand this right now.
Oh, that's funny.
And he was just doing it to be a dick.
Right.
It was so funny.
Has he been cool about, like, the jokes that you do about him? Like...
And so Corey is just like, hey, I'm not really cool with you, you know, telling people that my dad murders animals.
Right.
So it's like, I'll never do that for an audience, but he never said anything about a podcast.
Right. Yeah. It's always interesting to see, like, the things that you have to sort of be careful about what you say. Like, to me, I'm always, you know, careful about that. Like, to me, it's always so funny to be like, I'm not, when I used to do bringer shows in New York, it was always so funny. Like, my religious material, because I'm an atheist, would make, like, 20, 30-year-olds laugh, and then, like, 80-year-olds, like, upset. And I'd be like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry that I upset your grandma. And then it's like, you're heckled by a 70-year-old, and you're like, you don't know what to do. It's like, well, I can't make fun of them. They're going to die.
It is crazy because I'm wondering, though, at this point, like, who, like, would old people, what, like, do they find things funny, or do they have a better sense of humor than, like, very young people who are, like, quote-unquote, too woke?
Or, right.
And then, like, where's, like, the sweet spot in the middle, and it's just, like, I don't know. It's such a weird thing to try to, like, navigate, but, yeah, I think, it's weird because I think I can tell that joke when his dad dies. So now I'm just kind of like waiting for the day that happens.
Right. With, you talked about it, I was curious. It seems like, you know, you're a comic, so like you're pretty cool about everything. You haven't I don't know if this is a stereotypical question, but do like gay jokes and stuff like that sort of like bother you?
No. Okay. It's just kind of, I mean, you know, and it's not even coming from like a gay standpoint, it's sort of like a joke writing standpoint.
Right, exactly,
like,
yeah.
I can definitely separate like those two things, but if someone was like, hey, you flowery fag, like, move it.
Right.
I'd be like, that's not a joke, and hey, that was directed at me.
Right.
You know.
I know, there's, it reminds me of this episode of Seinfeld where he's like, he meets this guy who converts to Judaism just so he can make, like, really hacky Jewish jokes. And he talks to his rabbi, and his rabbi's like, are you offended as a Jew? And he's like, no, I'm offended as a comedian that these jokes aren't funny.
Yes, that's a thing, you know? And I laughed so hard because this was at a show at Distress Factory.
Yeah.
Richie Foss.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was like crying.
He's great.
It was just so quick and so funny. So.
Oh, yeah.
No, man. Bring it on. If it's well written, why not?
Right. That's like Rich Voss. That's like, yeah, that's like fucking, yeah, that's great.
He's quite, so quick. I love
It's like being punched by Mike Tyson. It's like, ow, that hurts, but it's like, you know, better than him than anyone else. Right. Yeah, it's just so cool. So, have you done any of the Zoom mics or anything when COVID happened?
Did you say the city mics?
Zoom mics. Like online shows? Right.
You know, that's something I didn't really sign up for.
Right.
You think, oh, you're going to be in the presence of people doing, like, you know, me being, like, physical or making faces or doing something weird. Like, you know, you want that sort of in-time feedback. And it's, you know, yeah, it was a little nerve-wracking. But I'm happy I did two or three, maybe. But nothing compares to just kind of...
Right. It's so different just from stand-up, just doing it, you know, you need that live audience.
Yeah.
And, like, even performing in front of, like, comics like that we do now, it's sort of interesting now to have that view of, like, when you're just doing, like, shows, mics now with other comedians, it's like you have a different idea now of what you want to do. It's like, oh, now I just want to make my friends laugh. It's like, okay, you want to get them specifically. It's always interesting. Like, you know, that's one thing that sucks about this now with, like, COVID and everything was just, like, there's no way for me to, like, do my schedule of what I do of, like, oh, I work on these jokes and then I get, like, a show every couple months and I can do these jokes. And now it's like, oh, I'm just performing in front of these comics and they have to hear these same jokes over and over again.
Yeah.
Ad nauseum. And it's just like, yeah.
Well, I feel like that's, like, when my brain switches, too, because it's, like, if there's no audience members and it really is just those other comedians, like I said, it really is nerve-wracking because you're like, oh, I want to impress these people, and, like, you know, but I feel like there's a lot of, like, all, like, my technical stuff sort of goes out the window, and it's just,
right.
Like, well, I'll just talk randomly.
Right, it's like you just talk comfortably when you're in front of other comedians. That's what I noticed, like, that's the one thing I didn't like about the Brighton was, like, I love that place, but it's, like, when I'm doing my set, it's, like, I'm not in performance mode. I'm in, like, talking to people I know mode. It's, like, the show business comes out of your voice.
Yes.
You're, like, oh, I'm not talking, like, in that, not fake, but, like, the performing. Like, you're not, like, you know, on to my next joke. It's, like, hey, I'm just talking to down here. Right. Yeah.
Interesting.
So, thank you so much for being on and doing this.
Richard, you're so good at this.
Oh, thank you. I always try to be, like, you know, it's interesting. Like, I was just on VJ's and he's, like, telling me, like, how easy I get into it. To me, I, like, always try to be careful because I want people to not think it's, like, disingenuous, but I'm getting good at it. Like, that's why I noticed. It's like, oh, I'm getting good at this. Like,
yeah.
And
I like how you're very comfortable. You made me comfortable.
So oh, good. Yeah, it's funny. At, like, the 30-minute mark, I was like, we've just been talking about, like, you know, us and how we started and everything in the community. And I was like, I need to, like, actually, like, interview him. That's, like, always the thing of, like, I have to, like, decide what I'm going to do is, like, it has to be... comfortable conversation, but also I do have to, you know, interview you and get people to know who you are, and I think you did pretty well. Right. Right. Well,
no, but yeah, this was awesome. And it was lovely. I like kind of seeing you in your element, so it's good.
Right. So your social media is on Instagram, Ryan Barry Was Only Joking.
That is where you can find more into sequel posts, but right now it's just kind of lame stuff. But
right.
There's some few videos in there you can have fun with, so whatever.
Yeah, it's great. It's just, you know, thank you so much for being on, and
thanks for having me, man.
I really like it. So,
Suck my mom.
So, okay. So, thank you.